The champ is here. We have AEW Dynamite, Rampage, and plus we crown a champion for our Impact pay-per-view, Bound for Glory. Who's going to take it home? This is Total Spot Fest. One down, nine, four.
Welcome to, or welcome back to, Total Spot Fest. This is JJ Brownlee. That is Jamie Faulkner. We are coming at you with our final AEW weekend show, plus some extra stuff, because a lot of things going on this weekend. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into most all of it. We're not going to talk about everything. There was a GCW pay-per-view over the weekend, whole bunch of stuff, New Japan things. Impact had Bound for Glory. We got a title to decide because, as you regular listeners and viewers know, we definitely do our big pay-per-view picks for for Impact, AEW, NXT, WWE, and we have an actual title to give out. Look at this glorious craftiness that JJ did. So who's going to get it? It's currently Megan's. I don't hold this. I'm just holding it. But who's going to win? We're gonna finish up with that tonight. So you got to hang on. Suspense is killing you. I know. Mm-hmm. But thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. If you are checking us out on YouTube, do us a favor and hit the like button down below. Give a comment if you want to join the conversation. And if you're listening to us on your favorite podcast provider, you can get in touch with us and join the conversation on Twitter at Total Spot Fest. As always, you can check us out on our website, www.totalspotfest.com. Check out the merch tab over while you're there if you want some cool shit. And that is where we're at. Jamie, how was your weekend, my man?
Very, very busy with softball.
I was going to say, I know the answer before I ask, but I thought I'd ask it.
Yeah, on Saturday, we spent 13 hours at the ball field. 13.
Ooh. Yeah, Megan had like a 9:30 end, like last game, right?
Yeah, her first game was at 11, but we had to get there at 10, which got us out of the house at 9 because it's about 45 minutes from her house. And then her last game did not start until 9:45, of course, because nothing ever goes on time. It got done at 11. Right. And then, or 11, oh my actually God. Got past, sorry, 11:20 is when the game officially was over.
So you rolled in about midnight-ish.
Yeah, yeah, we rolled in at midnight, and she was supposed to have an 8 a.m. game the next day.
F that.
But luckily, thank God, there was some rain, and she got to sleep an extra 2 hours because it was brutal. Yeah.
Oh, man. So, well, next weekend is going to be a little bit. Mine going to be so much less than yours. I slept. You won't like this at all. I slept until about like 2 o'clock each day. Huh. You know, there was no Mizzou, there was no Steelers on this weekend, so I'm just going to sleep in. So, stayed up late on Friday, you know, met some friends on the internet, kind of, you know, had a little happy hour thing, and then, you know, did some things around the house, went and had a shrimp boil with my dad and my stepmom on Sunday, and yeah, that was it.
Fun fact about
bachelor life, what's up?
I was going to say fun fact about Sunday, as the Chiefs weren't on either. Amazing.
They definitely weren't on, ooh, man. I didn't think I watched like more than like 20 minutes of football all day Sunday. I woke up after the Chiefs game and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, the Chiefs went from world beaters, like could just stomp on everybody, to not even mediocre. Like, what is going on?
For one, people have figured out Pat Mahomes and you got to adjust, you know? Mm-hmm. He's faced two deep coverage on a minimum of 81 or around roughly 81% of his pass attempts. Mm-hmm. It's by far the highest in the league. It's like 15 points higher than the next most quarterback has faced that coverage.
But then
they figured you out. You have to do other things. Take the dump off.
But the most amazing fact about that whole thing, even though, you know, the offense this past Sunday was struggling, but we've only had 2-3 and outs all season. That's it.
That's unbelievable. How
even with that defense? Yeah, I mean, turnovers are just a killer for us right now. But anyway, we're not here to talk about football. We're here to talk about
We'll start football. We'll start a sports podcast. I swear. You know, we keep joking about it because we diverge in all these like sport tangents, talking about, you know, Jamie gets me on a hockey trip and I go down, you know, talking about the Blues, or I get Jamie hot on the Chiefs. And so, total sport fest. One day it'll happen. Who knows?
Yes.
So let's talk about some wrestling. First and foremost, want to make sure everybody knows that if you have not already, you still can. There are a few tickets still available for this Friday at Blip Coffee Roasters, Journey Pro's next event. The Freaks Come Out at Night. We are going to be two of those freaks because our costumes are complete.
And amazing.
This is gonna be so good. We'll get some pictures taken and put them on the website after the event. If you're out of town and you want to see, because it's great. And 100% Jamie, once again, this is all his idea, but it's so well worth it. So hope to see you guys there. Hope to see you in costume. And if not, just be there, have fun. It's gonna be a great time. It's gonna be cool too. So it's not gonna be a sweat box. It actually should be perfect in there.
It should be perfect. Yes,
could be like upper 50s for a high on Friday, so it's actually the perfect thing to be at a coffee shop, you know, for real.
Yeah, like, so legit though, they should probably turn off the heat, say noon, and then by the time you get there, it might be a little brisk, but when all those bodies are in there, it'll get nice and toasty.
It should be just right, you know, some Goldilocks shit. So there's another match announced yesterday. I know there was a tag team match. The first, I mentioned, it's going to be more than one because it's there's going to be the tag tournament. Well, we don't know how many participants there are in these tournaments either, to be fair, but they announced one match for the tag team tournament, and it's going to be the Enlightenment of Mike Seidel. I remember which Seidel. Mike Seidel and
Luke Langley.
Thank you. I keep wanting to say Luke Longley and Matt Seidel. Those are both not right. That's a former Bulls basketball player.
Yes.
and not the right Seidel. So, okay, Luke Langley, Mike Seidel, the Enlightenment versus #HeelShit, the Howlett's.
Let's go.
If you haven't checked out our interview with them, please do. It's well worth it. We love us some heel shit, and yeah. So you know who we're pulling for. Sorry, Mike. Sorry, Luke.
I mean, when El Chapo hits, it's on.
It's going to be on. It's going to be on. We have a special gift for the Hallets, too. So, bunch of good stuff going to be there. The big announcement is going to happen at the show from DJ and Walter. So we'll see what that is. Jamie thinks it's a partnership of some sort. I'm leaning towards the permanent home. Who knows? It could be anything.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
About to figure it out. I saw a note, too. This is kind of ancillary, but for St. Louis Anarchy's next show, it's November 20th. They announced the main event.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, yeah, you already know. You're excited for this, as I am. It is going to be Gary J, Jeremy Wyatt, 3.
Mm-hmm.
No DQ. No time limit. Anything goes. There must be a winner.
It's time. It is time for Gary J to get some gold.
It is. And in retrospect, as much as we hated it because they just came back, it was the perfect time. If they're going to drop the belt, you do blah, blah, blah. This makes a lot more sense. You've had a 60-minute draw in Journey Pro. You've had a 60-minute draw in St. Louis Anarchy. This is an Anarchy-related belt, and Journey Pro is getting their own belt in December. They're crowning it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense to be at St. Louis Anarchy, and it as the end of a triplet of matches. So I'm all for it. Now, you should be able to watch it if you can't make it to St. Louis on Journey Pro's Twitch. That's twitch.tv/Journey2Anarchy. They've ironed out most of the kinks there, and everything should be good to go. So that'll be interesting to see. So that's cool.
Yeah.
One other note. I know we want to do some Journey, the thing with the stuff. The New Japan.
Japan.
We'll do some New Japan stuff because G1's in full force. I'm not going to get into Crown Jewel. For what it's worth, I've heard people say that of the Saudi shows, it was the best one there was. Hmm. Which, I mean, you know, to be fair, they can put on some decent matches every once in a while. Remember first night of WrestleMania this past year? It was not a bad show. Mm-hmm. Legitimately was not. So if it was great, now I was busy working, so I didn't see shit of it. But, you know, and kudos to Xavier Woods for becoming King of the Ring. That's awesome. It's good for him. But I want to talk about the Queen's Crown, because they crowned a queen of WWE. It is going to be, and not Charlotte Flair, we're not getting into that either, but Zelina Vega. She defeated Doudrop in the finals. I've been using our friend Denise Salcido over at Fightful Select. She's been posting up the times just for science. And the finals match was a pretty long match.
Oh. 3 minutes?
I say 5 minutes and 50 seconds.
Wow.
I say long in WWE terms. That means if you add this all up, not 1,000%, you know, but pretty darn close, right? The entire Queen's Crown tournament, 19 minutes and 24 seconds. Not even 20 minutes of total ring time.
That's terrible. God, they should be ashamed of themselves, man. That is just god awful.
That.
And Sasha Banks comes out and says, the women's division is the best it's ever been. Bullshit.
I saw that headline yesterday, and I was like, really? Really?
That is
like right now, really?
That is not the best. Wow. That is not the best.
Wow.
They might have the best talent. I think she's right with it when they have the best talent, because they are talented top to bottom, especially in catering. But damn.
Well, that's the thing. They got people. They got so much. Asuka, who's actually been injured. So touche, right? You know, but Asuka, admin on TV, whatever. Io Shirai is now buried in NXT 2.0 for whatever reason. Candice LeRae's, you know, on maternity, so there's that, right? Yeah. But, you know, Mia Yim hasn't seen the light of TV in God knows how long. You know, Aaliyah, you know, busted her ass to get up to the main roster, been doing all this dark stuff. She had a promo apparently last week. So that's something. Okay. Yeah, hey, here's a promo. You know? Dakota Kai. No, I don't know where the fuck Dakota Kai is. Do you?
She's back in NXT.
Is she that creepy, weird promo they were doing?
Probably. That's what, I don't even know.
There's some promo about somebody who's getting a darker gimmick, and I don't know. But that's the thing. She hasn't seen fucking anywhere, so.
Terrible, man. Yeah,
we can go on and on about our qualms about women's wrestling, specifically in WWE forever, but let's not, because there was a ton of good wrestling that happened. I want to start off and know what happened in G1, because we should be at the finals or the climax, right?
We are definitely at the climax of the G1 climax. And there is, I repeat, there is a new champion. So the results are in, ladies and gentlemen. And the final was Kota Ibushi going against Okada. Yes. What a final it was. It was everything you wanted. It actually had to end due to injury, which is the funny part. I mean, like, it's not funny, but it's sad a little bit. Ironic. Yeah. So Ibushi broke his arm and could no longer continue. So your G1 champion is Okada.
I saw on Twitter what he did afterwards, which was
so
interesting to me.
So typically, when you are the G1 champion, you carry around a briefcase. It's kind of like the Money in the Bank type situation. Call your shot, yeah. Whatever. Well, he didn't decide he wanted a briefcase, because that's not Okada style. No.
Definitely not.
Okada decided, you know what? I'm going to bring back the belt I made famous. That's exactly what he's thinking. He brought back the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, the old one, not the new Divas.
The one that was just retired.
Yeah, the one that's just retired. Yeah. That's the one he's carrying around as his briefcase, essentially. He's gone OG, and he debuted it at Road to Power Struggle, which is their next thing, because they do the road to it, like Road to WrestleMania's. Mm-hmm. So literally the first night, bust that out.
I mean, it's such an Okada thing, but it's such a baller move. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know Okada, he is that guy to be like, fuck you, don't tell me what to do sort of thing.
He's so good. He is so good. And the bad,
he's so good.
And here's the thing, like, I love me some Kenny Omega. I love Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm. He's not Okada. And that's saying something, because everybody and their mother thinks he's the best. Kenny Omega's the best. I politely disagree, because the bouts that he had with Okada, I think Okada was the better wrestler in those matches. And longevity-wise, Okada's not that old, which is the scary thing.
He's not. He hit the top of that mountain at like 24 or something like
that. Yes. He is
so
ridiculous.
He hit it young, and so he's got... Yeah. His road up there was, you know, in age a lot shorter than Omega or even Ospreay or anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
It's saying something. I mean...
He's in his 30s. He's 33 years old. That's it. He's 33. Right. And...
So you figure another...
10 years? Is he...
Decade most of, like, really good wrestling. Probably another 5-6 years.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he's probably got a decade, because the way he wrestles, he's probably got a decade of good wrestling, and then it's going to taper off. So by the time he's like 45-ish is probably when you're going to see it taper. Maybe, yeah, he might go a dozen, but like, the thing is, man, he was, what, ranked number 5 in the PWI, I think he was number 5?
PWI 150.
Yeah. And Ospreay was going to be on pace for number one until he got himself hurt. And that's fine.
Right,
but
of course.
I can't... I just want to... I haven't looked this up. This is completely hyperbole. But I would not hesitate if I look back in every year for the past 6 years, he's in the top 5. Every year. Like clockwork.
No doubt.
And like, there's no one. And I know you got... There's some Roman Reigns lovers out there. And I appreciate you. Enjoy your 4 moves. But I seriously don't think there's another wrestler on the planet that can go toe-to-toe with Okada, like, consistently, other than Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega, period.
Yep, I mean, if this was 5 years ago, I would say Bryan Danielson would be in there as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's no knock on him, no knock on... It just... That's what time does to a combat athlete.
Yeah.
Everybody gets it. Everybody gets it. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You know, I think that those three are definitely in a class of their own. I'm trying to think if there's anybody I put there with them. And...
There's potential.
I don't know if I would. I mean, There's a lot of potential. There's a lot of good athletes I would put up there with them. You know, like Josh Alexander is one I would put up there as an athlete. You know, is he the total package? Not quite. Hijo del Vikingo, I would definitely put up there. Andrade could be, but I think he needs a little more stability, you know, with where he's been, you know. But there's a lot that are kind of, you know, on that cuspage that I'd say best in the world like that. But those three... definitely separate themselves. I can't think of another person to add to that, put it on that pedestal, right?
Yeah, I mean, total package.
And maybe Takagi. I don't know. Even Takagi, I think, is just, he's like one of those, like...
Yeah, Ibushi's up there, obviously. You know, but...
Yeah.
I mean, Bryan Danielson would be a hell of a match, and that's a dream match that I personally want to see. I want to see Okada Danielson go at it. Bryan Danielson has been very vocal that he wants this match. And it could happen. But like, when you think about it, age, ability, You know, like MJF has the ability to be up there. You know, he really does.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't necessarily have the super athletic style like those guys do.
No, he doesn't. And he's still young.
Yeah.
So, you
Jungle
know.
Boy, who's got moon, it? He
Jungle Boy. I mean, the pillars definitely do. The pillars of AEW are future going to be up there.
Yeah.
At least two of them.
Yeah.
If not more.
And honestly, as much as I don't want to admit it, Bron Breakker looks pretty damn good.
I mean, there are some good potential in some of these young cats over in WWE stable. There really are. Yeah. You know,
I'm going to call him Bron Steiner. I can't. He deserves his last name.
Sure. Okay.
Broderick Steiner. That's actually
Broderick Steiner. Okay, whatever.
Broderick. Well, it's Rick Steiner. Like Rick Steiner. Like Rick Steiner, but it's actually their last name's Rickensteiner or something like that. Their real name. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's Rick Steiner. Never mind. I digress.
I got it.
I digress.
Yeah. You're going off on a wild hair, but yeah. So I'll tell you what, you guys let us know. Is there anybody you put on that pedestal along with Okada, Ospreay, and Omega? Or do you think we're wrong on putting those three in a class of their own? Let us know. Give us a comment down below. Give us a tweet.
If I'm smoking crack, if you think I'm smoking crack, tell me you think I'm smoking crack.
Yes, please tweet at Total Spot Fest. Jamie Faulkner is smoking crack.
Yes.
Up with hope, down with dope. Let's go.
Something about me you don't know, Joe Rogan. I smoke rocks.
I think that the next one, because I think they already did the taping for the Dallas New Japan show.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not mistaken, because they have one in Long Beach, that's in California somewhere, maybe San Jose. They're doing one in San Jose and then one in Philly. I don't remember which one's next. Cool stuff going on there.
Yeah, I think the next one, Dallas is next, and then I think after that is San Jose.
I don't think Dallas is live.
November,
I believe they already shot.
No, November 13th in San Jose. Speaking of that
Full Gear weekend.
Yeah, so speaking of that, Buddy Matthews, he's set to make his Buddy Matthews Battle in the Valley event. So that's where he is making his
debut. That's his debut. Okay.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, again, here's another one. Just calling it out. Recently confirmed that Okada will also be making his return to the U.S. a part of that show. And he called him out.
Wow.
Okada is going to be in the U.S. November 13th.
Going to be on the West Coast. November 13th.
Yes.
Full Gear is a ways away from that. I know you want to see him show up and you want to hear the coin drop in AEW.
Oh.
And you will. I know we will. Not in 2021, though. Sorry. Just say it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you guys much more. There's a lot of buildup going in to Full Gear. So we're going to talk about AEW over the weekend here momentarily. Like I said, real fast, just a couple little notes. There was a GCW show over the weekend. It was in LA. As you heard us before, we did talk about, and I do want to look at some LA fights. So GCW is having a branch off promotion, basically. So a West Coast based promotion to go with GCW, the East Coast based promotion called LA Fights. Some good stuff that happened. The Briscoes won the tag titles. There was just ridiculously sick moves. Go on YouTube, Google it. Go to Twitter, look up from GCW. Some really kick-ass stuff. Minoru Suzuki beat Nick Gage in the main event as well. So Nick Gage putting people over left and right.
That's what he does.
Good guy, Nick Gage. Who knew?
Yeah.
Face of the company. That's what you do, right? So let's talk about Rampage, because Rampage happened on Friday night. They were down slightly. I think they were down like 30,000 viewers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, something not like terrible, that. But not great.
Not terrible. Still a terrible time slot. We digress. So it is what it is. And this is the last, once again, weekend of Rampage and Dynamite back-to-back. So we'll have to see what they do going forward here. The card itself was actually, this is actually a pretty enjoyable night. I didn't know if I was going to enjoy this as much, but it was really good. It was pre-taped, wasn't live. So it started off, though, with Orange Cassidy versus Powerhouse Hobbs. This is a first round match for the AEW World Title Eliminator Tournament.
There you go.
That's kind of too long a name.
Not as bad as the women's one.
Not terrible. Yeah. Not nearly as bad as the women's one. That's right. We've seen this match before, but it keeps getting better because Hobbs keeps getting better as a wrestler.
He does. Like, it's ridiculous how fast he's getting better, too.
Absolutely. And I thought when I first saw him, I go, I like that guy. He's got a future if he can develop because he's got the size, got a good look. He's unique. You know, he's got good, he can move for a big guy. All the attributes you would want, right? All the things that Vince McMahon is sitting there just whacking it for, you know, he's got. So, and, you know, Cassidy gets the win in this, of course, but it was a very entertaining match. It's kind of funny. So it ends with Outcome Hook and Outcome Ricky Starks, as they always do, and they're trying to distract Bryce Rensburg and trying to do these shenanigans, and it ends up kind of the old switcheroo thing, you know, that he misses a pin, and then so Hobbs is arguing with Rensburg because he missed the pin, right? You know, I had him pinned for three. He cheated, but yeah, I'm pinned for three. And then Orange Cassidy does a sneaky pin and gets the victory. So
nice. Solid.
So Orange Cassidy. So that's one of the first round matches. There's two more on Dynamite. So Cassidy moving on one side of the bracket. Then you had a Penta promo with Tony Schiavone, and he gets jumped by FTR. So there's a distraction that they do out in the ring because Penta and comes out, excuse me, with Alex Abrahantes comes out to do an interview with Tony Schiavone, and Phoenix got hurt when they jumped him. I don't know if he's legit hurt, if that's kayfabe.
I don't know.
He wasn't there either night this weekend. He might have had other engagements, and that's how they wrote him off.
He was on the Jericho cruise, wasn't he?
I don't remember if he was on Jericho cruise or not. He might have been. But anyway, I don't think he's legitimately hurt because we would have definitely seen more news about it. But he's kayfabe hurt, so they're shooting on FTR and stuff, and FTR jumps him again. So they're setting this up to be a big blowout. I hope that they do a ridiculous match for this. If they're going to do this, you know, like Escalada de la Muerte 2 or something.
Oh.
Then you had your women's match of the night. Because it's an hour, I'm good with one of the women's match. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anna Jay versus Britt Baker. Britt Baker? See, you did the whole Braun Breaker fucking, now you got me just all twisted.
Braun Steiner. See?
Steiner would have been so much better. Versus Britt Baker, DMD. Anna Jay. I can't say enough about her youth and still being, especially being on the show for so long at her young age in the industry and still looking good out there. You know, there's a little choppiness she had at the start, but to be expected, right? A little bit of that, but it looked overall really good. Britt, of course, got the victory. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, they start beating the shit out of Anna Jay, her and her little minions there, Jamie Hayter and Rebel. So out comes Tay Conti.
Excuse me. It's not Rebel. It's Rebel. You got to get the twang in there.
Excuse me.
Rebel.
I got enough twang in my voice. I don't need to drop it down another few.
Because it's not Reba. It's not Rebel. It's Rebel.
I think she's officially going by Rebel again. I think Britt has switched over. So, but we'll still call her Rebel if you
Absolutely.
Want. All right?
Rebel.
So Tay Conti comes out to save her, and that's foreshadowing, not for me to talk about, but Jamie will make mention of it here in just a moment. Mm-hmm. Then they announce the TBS tournament bracket. And it's very interesting. So 12-woman tournament with 4 byes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get it at first. They didn't say who the byes were till after they showed the whole bracket, but the buys are, let me tell you who it is first here. So the 4 people who have buys are Thunder Rosa, Jade Cargill, Nyla Rose, and Chris Statlander. So they have first round buys. And then your other first round competitors or competition or whatever, pairings, there's a word, yeah, are Anna Jay versus Jamie Hayter, keeping that on brand there. The Bunny versus Red Velvet. Serena Deeb with versus Hikaru Shida. We're getting that in the first round.
Y'all. Yeah.
I know, right? And then Penelope Ford versus Ruby Soho. Hey, Ruby. So they said, and you might wonder, why are these, you know, so they said that the buys are going to four of the top five in the rankings. Mm-hmm. You've already probably figured out who the fifth person is and why that, you know. But, yeah, so that's why Thunder Rosa, Cargill, Nyla Rose, and Statlander got the buys. So that makes
sense. Yeah, that's it good. Was ranks 2 through 5. Yep. 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep.
So once again, 2, 3, 2, 2, 5. So once again, wins and losses matter in AEW. This is the key. They keep hammering that point. Another thing they keep hammering that they can hammer all the fucking time if they want is Pac versus Andrade. Oh. So. Hawk versus Andrade 2. And my God, like, this is not a match you should be giving away for free on TV. And they keep doing it. And it's just, it's, oh my
God. I'm not going to complain.
It was oh, so good. So good. Everything. We got, I mean, you know, I can go off. All you gotta know is Pac versus Andrade. This match was incredible. Spots all over the place. Crazy stuff happening. And the commentators were just into it. The crowd was really into it. The crowd was really good for a pre-tape Rampage crowd. Because sometimes, you know, it's you know, before, after, they do the Dynamite, right? Yeah. So crowd could be a little waning at times. Not tonight. They were into it. So with the commentators, we got a Taz Yambag City reference. So,
wow,
been a hot mess since we got that. There was a top rope brainbuster that Pac did that I still don't know how it was physically possible that he completed it.
Yeah, without killing somebody.
It's like he jumped in midair, caught him, and did a brain. It was ridiculous. It was all ridiculous. So at the end, Pac ended up getting the victory on Andrade.
Oh.
And that led to stare down afterwards, blackout. Here comes Malakai Black in the ring.
Let's go.
I know. Jamie knows where we're going with this already. And if you don't, Malakai, Tommy End, and Andrade in real life are actually very close friends.
Very, very close.
They used to drive together in NXT and all this stuff. So very close friends, which makes their feud in NXT even funnier, considering, you know, everything with his wife being there and part of Andrade's. Anyway. So there's Malakai Black. So the crowd is just immediately like, oh yeah, they're buddy. Oh, them together. Oh, and I'm like, let's fucking go. Then out comes Arn Anderson. And he walks down the ramp, goes up to the ring, points at Malakai, puts his finger up, and then does a finger gun bang at him. At which point, you know, Cody and other members of the Nightmare Family come out and even the score and all that stuff. But Malakai, of course, and Andrade walk away, and they're off into the sunset. So it's cool. It's cool. I dig it. I want to see them do something Malakai and Andrade related together, rather than just throw them in a couple tag matches for no reason. I want to see them actually explore the
House of Black,
kind of the psychology of that. Yes. I mean, you know, Andrade comes out as Black Mask, basically.
Yeah.
Batman character. Yeah. You know, white pinstripe suit with a black mask. There's more symbolism there to that. I'm just saying, we'll see what happens.
Like it.
That was a Rampage.
Yeah.
And then the following night, we had Dynamite. And Jamie, you got to be able to check out Dynamite.
I did. I really did. And my goodness, for a Saturday Dynamite, because they, let's be honest, their last few Saturday Dynamites have not exactly been the strongest of Dynamites.
They've been, well, we're on Saturday, just phone it in.
Yeah, this you know? One definitely did not phone it in. No. This was a hell of a Dynamite, and like, wow. Okay, so let's just,
I've got a lot of notes
here. Yeah, so let's just start with the opening match. Opening match. This is.
Did this surprise you, this match? FYI.
Well, hold on. But
I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm amped about this. But yes. Okay, I gave my answer.
Go. 1,000% yes. So
couldn't believe.
So
it.
This is. They started off with a match. This is round one of the AEW World Championship Eliminator Tournament, and it is none other than the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, going against the Natural Dustin Rhodes, baby.
Almost did that.
Yeah. wow.
Who'da thunk it? No offense to Dustin. I mean,
so yeah. So here's the thing: is as much as I don't want to admit my thoughts about the main event, the Rhodes boys showed out tonight, like for Saturday night. They showed out. So this match, honestly, up until that main event, was match of the night, and it wasn't even close.
No, it was.
And then literally, baby brother Cody. Okay. Was like, here, hold my beer. But anyway, like,
well, you know, it was the season finale of Rose to the Top afterwards. So I'm just saying.
Oh, I didn't get to watch that. Sorry.
I'm just throwing that in there. Whatever.
So this match had everything. Like, the crowd was lava hot for it. This is awesome chance, like, everywhere. It finally ends with a very, very, again, you don't have to always have the same finisher in order to win a match. Bryan Danielson gets Dustin Rhodes into a guillotine, like standing guillotine, and they slowly fall to the ground. And Dustin Rhodes does not tap out, but he passes out and he loses 1-2-3 by submission. Your winner is Bryan Danielson. But my God, if you've not watched this match, you are doing yourself a disservice, and you need to watch this match because damn.
Danielson has had nothing but bangers since he's been in AEW.
Yeah. So.
And the typical fare, right? Kenny Omega. And then he had, you know, Minoru Suzuki. And, you know, Bobby Fish was excellent. But Dustin Rhodes, you're like, oh, that's going to be what? No, it was a banger. Who knew, right?
Oh, like, I was blown away by this match.
I did not expect this match to be as good as it was. And you definitely, like Jameson, need to go watch it. I have two notes about
okay.
it. So, at the beginning of the match, there was a great sign about the same place as the person from, I can't remember, I think it was from Grand Slam, had the two women's matches match, about the same area in like the second, third row. Somebody had a sign that said, I love twinks. Well, there's that. And I think we're just trying to get shock value now, honest to God. And whatever. And speaking of shock value, in the middle of the match, the microphone was a little bit too live because it picked up Rhodes coming out of the corner and you know, basically, you know, getting hit. And then one of those, like, hit me again, you know, you son of a bitch things. And he goes to Danielson. He's very easily picked up on TV. He goes, come at me, motherfucker. Not edited. And to which Tony Schiavone just goes, oh, he fucked up with that one. I'm like, wait, did I just hear fuck twice on TNT?
I didn't catch Tony on that. I was just like so enthralled. I missed that. I'll have to watch it again.
I'm sure that if you didn't watch it live, did you?
No, I taped it.
Okay, you should have still seen it on the tape if it was taped from the live.
It was taped from the live. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it was hilarious. He goes, come at me, motherfucker, which, you know, little kid, you get the crowd sometimes. You get that in a football game, the background noise. But then Tony's right, literally goes, oh, he fucked up on that one there.
Oh, I need to check that out. Okay.
Go listen to it. It's a funny, yeah.
So after this, we have a quick promo from the Elite, more specifically Kenny Omega, showing off all their sweet Nike shoes. You know, talking about the Dark Order, you know, how his friends get a shot at the Elite, and, you know, Paige isn't cowboy shit, he's coward shit, blah, blah, blah. It was fine. It was actually pretty decent. Then we get a solid promo out of FTR going against the Lucha Bros. And then Penta and Alex Abrahantes were also saying, you know, that they're going to get him back. And then Alex says, revenge is coming, which I loved how Alex, because his face has very nicely done up, good makeup there to make it look like he's got a black eye.
He got beat up the night before, so yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty good. So that was fun. Then we do get the promo of the night, and I don't think it's it kind of close, because let's be real, Dan Lambert's was pretty damn solid too.
Dan Lambert's is okay, but it's also, if I said there was a Dan Lambert promo, you could probably predict it. No offense to Dan Lambert.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing, but I love it. Like, I just do.
They're in the middle of a feud, so you know what it's going to be. This was good, because I don't really know where they're going with this, and I like that.
So, Tony Schiavone introduces Sting to give us an update on Darby. And
by the way, your Schiavone is not. You need to work on your Schiavone. It's not. Oh,
it's on purpose. Like, I do it terribly.
Okay,
like,
all right.
God awful on purpose.
Touche.
So, Sting comes out to give an update on his emo son, Darby Allin. And before he can even utter one word, MJF's music hits. And MJF is out there spitting
so much heat.
Fire, so much venom. Heat, it was so good. Oh, my God. The crowd was chanting, shut the fuck up to him. Like,
I mean, he's getting not nuclear heat, but he's getting all the right
type of heat. Not Xbox heat. Not getting get off my TV Xbox
heat. Not Xbox. Not Tessa Blanchard heat. It's like actual heat, but in a good way.
Yeah, like, I mean, there is just so much going on with this. Like, you know, where should I start? So, you know, Darby and...
Well, how about the fact that he's... Because they're in Florida, in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And he goes... Well, it's easy to fool a bunch of people who solve their problems with gun violence and incest.
Yes. That's
how he begins to shoot on the crowd.
That's how he begins to shoot on the crowd.
You open with gun violence and incest, there's nowhere else to go but down. Shit.
Yeah. Then right after that, he's just basically like, you know, but when your friends need you most, where are you? Darby Allin ended up like Sting's old pal, Lex Luger. And he gets in there, and right when he says, in a wheelchair, and then Sting hits him in the face.
Oh, man.
It was so good. And then here come out the Pinnacle, and Sean Spears hits him with a chair, and then Wardlow hits, and they just start beating the hell out of him. And then...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they obliterate.
And then Max, you know, sits right by him, and he calls out Darby yet again. Look at him. You know, did I break you mentally now? Oh, man, he's just going to look at him. Oh. This is so good. Like, it was just amazing.
This is the proper way to build it. This is how you build this. This is the great thing about this, too, you know, because we talk about this for a long time. Long-term booking, AEW, whatever, you know. This doesn't really take a ton of airtime to do this. It's a promo that's worth something, instead of the crap you get from like Raw or something like that. And the payoff for this is going to be ridiculous. Like, if it's at full gear, which I suspect it will be, that crowd is going to be just like on edge, ready for it. It's one of those type of payoffs. It really
is. Oh, yeah. It's going to be amazing. And then right after that, after commercial break, They show MJF and Sean Spears sitting there, and then Wardlow comes up and he's like, you know, I've been giving you a lot of shit lately, I'm sorry, but you know what, we got to talk about something. You know, you can't do this all on your own. It's a lot of pressure to come out and help me. So I'm going to give you an accountability buddy. And he's like, a what? Accountability buddy. And he's like, who is it? And it's like, and he goes, it's Sean. And I got a meeting. I got to 5 minutes. See you guys, you know? And then Sean Spears is like, yeah. Like, it was hilarious. His response was like, yeah.
I mean, set up for that fall. It's going to be massive when it happens. I think that it's going to happen later than people expect it to. So that's even better.
I expect we start to see the cracks revolution time.
Well, we've been seeing cracks. I think revolution is the start of it. I think Double or Nothing is a great time for it to actually happen.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree with
that. Whatever that is that he's in at the time, that's when Wardlow finally turns on it.
Yes. Tony Schiavone now is with standing by with Britt Baker, DMD. And she reveals that she will be facing none other than Ty Conti for the Women's Championship at Full Gear. And she cuts a amazing promo on Ty. Just basically says all Ty has done is just shown her ass to everybody. And she hasn't worked her way to the top like she has. And she...
not true, but
yeah.
Yes.
And then she's going to beat her ass as she shows everybody at Full Gear.
Kept going on her ass, which, I mean... We're not gonna go down that path necessarily, but it is a very nice posterior if you're into this sort of thing. And Twitter and Instagram is a very good friend of yours if you want to partake. What I liked about that not is wrong. That unsolicited on Twitter, out of nowhere, here came because she's in the tournament as well. But here came Jade Cargill talking about how she looks better than both of them and this and that. And then Tay Conti's floating back and, you know, talking about ass and shows the pictures of Britt Baker's mock-up for her ringside collectibles figure and Tay's ringside collectible figures. And he goes, even your doll has no ass, you know, and just like, so just going into Britt, both of them. And then Jade's going into Tay about how much better looking she is than her. And I'm like, these people are really like going to town on this. Fantastic. The three of them were just like, just chirping at each other. Chirping is a hockey term for talking trash. They're just chirping at each other back and forth there. It's fan fucking tastic. It really was.
It was. Yes. So after this, we had our second match of the night, and this was for the AEW TBS Women's Championship tournament. And this is an opening round match of Penelope Ford versus Ruby Soho. Hey, Ruby. Gotcha.
I already did it before.
I know, but I started first on this one. I'm just saying. Ruby Soho. Hey, Ruby. Anyway, this is a good match. So Penelope sometimes gets a little off kilter and she gets choppy, you know, and Ruby did a really good job of trying to keep it going, definitely towards the end, but there was just a couple rough patches on it. It honestly ruined a really good match, and I don't want to say ruined it just lots of dents. It dented up like it was a hailstorm, if you will, of just right. little things.
And it was interesting because the crowd was like fully behind Ruby.
Yeah.
Right. And you could have played on that. You could have had her done some real kind of, you know, sneaky heel shit type of moves in the middle of the match, you know, distracting the eye poke and things like that. And, you know, but yeah, it was choppiness. And I don't know why that was. Penelope's been pretty consistent lately, so I don't know why, but it definitely wasn't her best outing. Let's put it
that. Yeah, so the end comes out, the bunny comes out at the end, and she tries to give the brass knucks to Penelope Ford. Rick Knox catches it and kicks him out of the ring. That allows Ruby to roll up Penelope 1-2-3 for your win. Right after that, the bunny comes into the ring. So it's 2-on-1, bunny and Penelope. Then here comes Red Velvet.
Red Velvet faces the bunny next week.
I know, but still, it's like, oh.
It's, yeah.
Felt forced.
Well, here's the thing. Ruby's character is kind of predicated. It's the runaway character. I don't know if you saw this or not, but she has a new shirt, by the way.
She does. It's actually a really cool shirt.
It's already on its way to me.
Not surprised. Not surprised.
God damn. But she's so her character, since she's come to AEW, is this runaway, is this kind of like lone wolf-esque character, right? Yeah. She's also face. And they're trying to like kind of just pair her up with people as it serves fit for like their storyline, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that does any good for either of them, really. You know, Ruby's gonna be fine either way. She's super popular. She's gonna, you know, whatever. But it's like, what does Red Velvet get with coming out to save Ruby? FaceTime. You know, that's pretty much it, yeah. Right? I don't know. You know, there's still some times where I look at the women's division and I go, well, why are you doing that? It doesn't really serve any purpose. So,
No, I totally agree with that. So, after this, we have Bobby Fish versus Anthony Green. And interesting.
This is the off match for the night for me. It was just a little weird.
Well, I would say the Ruby Soho match was the off one for me, but I don't disagree with what you're saying. Like, that's mm-hmm. the thing. Like, because it could easily be this one, because it just felt weird.
I think the Ruby match had Penelope was a little bit choppy, you know, so it was technically off. This one I just didn't. Yeah, go ahead and talk about this.
Yeah, so. I mean, Bobby just beat the shit out of this guy. Like, it was a squash match.
Oh, squash.
You know, Bobby wins with a knockout kick. 1, 2, 3. And then afterwards, he just decides, I'm just going to just keep attacking this dude. And Orlando boos him out of nowhere. It's Bobby Fish, too. So it's like, what is going on? It just felt really weird. And then here comes CM Punk. Just probably set up CM Punk versus Bobby Fish at Full Gear, which is...
No, it's happening next week.
Is it? Okay. I feel like something's going to happen and that's going to get pushed.
I'm excited. I want to see that match. I just don't understand the point of... Here's the thing. It's like, yeah, Bobby Fish as a heel is fine. Great. He's great as a heel, right? Why don't you just present him as a heel from the start then? Because, I mean, he went up against Daniel Bryan. He'd have been the heel in that match, but he was basically just... the other guy.
Yeah. Like, you didn't.
He's been the other guy in every match. He's never been, like, totally face, but he hasn't been heel at all. And then you make him super heel.
Yeah. Like, you didn't need to turn him.
No explanation.
Like, you didn't need to turn him. Like, just make him a heel from the jump. Like, make him just do some shitty moves every now and again, you know, that's the heel shit moves. And that's all you need to do. He did not need to go like, it just felt, felt very
weird.
Forced.
It felt weird too that out of nowhere, here comes CM Punk in like street clothes. It's like,
of all people, too. Like, are him and Anthony Green
like,
cool?
Yeah, you're protecting Anthony Green. I mean, what the fuck?
And this is again the shit that we keep talking about with CM Punk. He is not
that you keep talking about, to be fair.
I keep talking about, like, he's not in a damn storyline. Get this dude in a real storyline.
Oh, well, that part. I thought you were going to say the heel thing, how you want to see heel.
Oh, I got to see heel Punk. Heel Punk, he better be here at the beginning of 2022. By that time, I would assume a part of the Elite's going to turn face.
I just want to see him like in a storyline.
Yeah.
A storyline. Something.
Get him in a storyline, because this popping in and out and being the super face Punk is just, it's getting old like quick, and I love CM Punk. Well, and it's just old.
It's getting old for us marks, you know. They're squeezing everything they can, you know, appearance wise to get him, and to be fair, maybe he doesn't feel up to it yet. Maybe he's just like, I can't do this, you know, I gotta pace myself.
Yeah,
okay, maybe, who knows, right? But like we said earlier, the MJF, you don't need to come out and do a 20-minute match every week, you know. I don't know. It just using him for cheap pop is just that, and great at first, right? Mm-hmm. Let's move it on, and maybe this is it. Maybe this is how they do it. Maybe I don't know, but it just everything they've been doing with him since his initial Darby thing has been very random.
Agreed. Like, it just, like, they don't, creative doesn't have anything for you right now type feels.
Right. Which they did the same thing with Christian Cage at first when he came in too.
Yeah. And then, I mean, but he kept wrestling every damn week like Christian Cage said he would, which props to Christian Cage for living up to what he said and changed me from absolutely despising the guy from picking up a title to I like him again.
It's okay, right? Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens at post Full Gear. So let's
exactly. See. So then after this, you have Shivani with Lio Rush and Dante Martin. Leo's basically saying that Matt Sydal is not a mentor. Dante Martin did not like that. Whatever. Sets up a match for next Rampage of the Sydal brothers versus Dante Martin and Lio Rush. So we get to see Lio Rush on Rampage. I'm looking forward to that actually a lot.
Let's go.
Okay, so then we have our second AEW World Championship Eliminator Tournament match of Eddie Kingston versus Lance Archer. Lance Archer comes out, and before he even hits the ring, here comes Eddie Kingston like a house on fire. And those two
that was cool.
Those two start going at it, and Lance Archer does like, you know, the big monster thing. He grabs some plant out of the crowd and throws.
You see how they planted him too?
Yeah.
In the front row, there was one guy that was wearing an AEW hat. It definitely didn't go with his outfit, but there was one person in a row of people that had an AEW hat. So you know they told him, grab the guy in the AEW hat. That's your beanbag.
Yeah, that's your guy. So he basically uses this guy as a lawn dart and everything. Like he throws him over the ring over the barricade onto Eddie. Then he grabs this guy, takes him up onto the apron, which is the hardest part of the ring, by the way. And then straight up choke slams him onto Eddie Kingston. Like it was just, what the hell's going on? And it is just everywhere. Like, this match was just brutal in all the best ways. You know, that's probably the best way I could probably put it for this match. It was just, you know, Archer tried to go for his blackout. You know, Eddie got him into a sleeper, which is really cool. And then towards the end, you know, Lance goes for a moonsault and landed terribly on his neck. This is the piece of the match, because I feel like this is what changed the outcome, because he tried to do a moonsault and basically landed damn near straight on his head.
He under-rotated and he said as much, and everybody was like, oh shit, it did not look good.
Yeah. Basically, they had to call a quick audible because Samson was out there. He gets rolled up by Eddie 1-2-3. Your winner by medical decision, realistically, audible call.
Do you think it was going to be Archer moving on?
I totally think it was going to be Archer. The way that match
the winner of this match, right, the winner of this match got Danielson.
Yeah, which, I mean, talk about two completely different styles there. Holy crap.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, we're still going to see it too. Like, I definitely want to see Kingston versus Brian Danielson a lot too.
Oh yeah, especially considering the promo they had later on in the night. But they're in the crowd, they showed too, very interesting, a bystander, an onlooker in the second row there, the supreme athlete Tony Nese.
Mr. Tony Nese out there, the man with 18 abs.
He's got so many abs.
Abs have abs.
And shame on people for putting up spoilers for Dark and Dark Elevation and Rampage. Just saying. But I did hear a spoiler that Tony Nese actually wrestled on Dark this upcoming week.
Twice.
Ooh, Dark and Dark Elevation both. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not going to tell you if you won or not, but...
We don't know if he's All Elite, though. It doesn't mean he's signed All Elite, but...
I feel like it's a good side, though.
They did the whole, like, old-school NXT thing where they'd at TakeOver, they'd have, like... You know, Matt Riddle or Keith Lee in the front row, right? You know, that's exactly what they did with this here, basically.
Yeah.
So
after this, we get the Men of the Year with Dan Lambert out there. Dan Lambert cuts a Dan Lambert promo, to your point, JJ, is the usual thing he does. He calls out Jericho, who isn't there because he's on the Jericho Cruise, obviously. But you know who is there? Sammy Guevara. So
the PR nightmare, Sammy.
The PR nightmare, which I do appreciate that.
The good touch.
Yeah, time. And then out comes Sammy, tells Ethan shut the hell up. You know, Ethan also cut a great promo. I am a big fan of Ethan Page on the mic, like immensely.
Oh, he's so good.
But yeah, and So Dan Lambert just, you know, does his usual shit, calls him you little fella a couple times, just called him a little dude, you know, and basically they're trying to get a 10-man tag for Full Gear.
So that's what Inner Circle.
That's what Inner Circle wants. But Man of the Year tried to attack Sammy at the end, and out come the rest of the Inner Circle for the save that weren't on the cruise, which is everybody minus Jericho. It was good.
Yep. So they make the stipulation. You missed this part here.
Oh, sorry.
That's what they want. But the stipulation that they said they agreed to it once they're back on the ramp. They agreed to do a 10-man tag if Sammy puts the title up this coming week on Dynamite against Ethan Page. He's got to put the title up for them to accept this. And if he loses, not only does he lose the title, if he loses, he has to leave the Inner Circle forever.
Ooh, so he's not going to lose.
So Sammy accepted and said that if he wins, retains the title, of course, but he gets to choose the three members of American Top Team to be on the 10-man tag.
Ooh. So Paige VanZant.
Paige VanZant definitely going to be there, right? Jorge Masvidal's not, because he's in the middle of his UFC run, but you'll probably have Paige VanZant's husband.
Yeah, Junior Dos Santos and Paige VanZant's husband. I don't know what that guy's name is.
Well, I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. I don't follow him.
Yeah.
But the dude with the big-ass neck tattoo.
Yeah.
Who, if you watch Thunder Rosa's vlog, you see that they were kind of fucking around and like learning how to do like wrestling moves in the ring after Dynamite last week. It was kind of cool. Anywho.
Nice. After this, you see Jon Moxley. He says he felt his daughter grab his pinky finger and it made him think about everything. He doesn't care about the tournament, the title, or anything. He cares about getting home in one piece to do that. He's going to win the whole damn thing.
But in order to get there, he has to kill everybody, basically.
Yeah.
All I care about is my little baby daughter. I love her so much, and I want nothing more in the world. But in order to get to her, I got to kill your ass. So fuck you, you're dead. You know, it's like Moxley's one, too. You can put up there on that line. We talked about the whole best in the world shtick earlier, mm-hmm. right? He's one of those that's kind of like cuspage, I would say.
Yeah, like, he's got everything. I just don't know. Like, there's just something. Like, I love Misa Moxley, and I hate Misa Moxley all at the same time. Like,
interesting. Okay.
Like, his in-ring ability is amazing.
His in-ring ability is basically modernized Stone Cold Steve Austin from 97.
Yeah, and that's probably why I love it so much. But I think right. The thing that irritates me is, like, basically every time he talks, it's the same effing thing, and I still don't understand what he's trying to communicate sometimes. Like, he's just kind of all over the place. Like, and I get that's his style, like, that's what he's trying to do. Like, he's just boo, 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 boo. I'm like, what? Like, that's...
It's just a lot of words without a lot of meat.
Yeah, kind of like us.
Okay. Well, touche. I digress. Let's go back to Ramp or Dynamite.
So after this, though, we get one Mr. Adam Hangman Page, baby. And he happens to visit his friends in the Dark Order. And he basically is like, he says they were right, and he thanks them for their efforts and apologizes. He straight up apologizes. Next week is Halloween, and he knows the Elite are going to be in costume. What about the Dark Order?
So the Dark Order is definitely going to be in a costume and the Elite won't. We know this,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%.
Okay.
I bet you, all so right. This is what I'm thinking. I think the entire Dark Order is going to come dressed up as Adam Hangman Page.
Okay.
Because of this seed.
Or would it be a Page relay? Like, they all come in like inflatable horses.
I mean, they could do that, but I would expect all of them, like, with their masks, have, like, you know, the whole thing. Like, they would okay. all do it in their own way.
Well, let's see, if I remember right, their 8-man tag they have next week is Stu Uno, as you like to say, John Silver, and Colt Cabana, I think. I believe that's who it is.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be Colt.
I saw the graphic already. I don't think 5 was included in
or was
that.
It 10? Or Reynolds. Was it 10? No, 10's in the tournament. So 10.
10's got a first round
yeah,
match.
Yeah, so he's so in the tournament. So yeah, it's Colt. Yeah. You're right. It's Colt.
I think it's Colt. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So the ultimate squash of the night, the super squash, if you will, Jungle Boy versus Brandon Cutler.
This is what you want from a squash.
Yes.
Let's be fair.
It was cheeky and fun, but then afterwards it was not so cheeky and fun. Jungle Boy takes Cutler. And gets slapped. JV slaps him back, and then just locks with the snare trap. Once he like taps out, like damn near instantly.
Yeah. That's enough.
Yeah, like I can't believe like Cutler has became the ultimate crony. Now it's kind of great, comical and everything. So
I really liked the stuff he did during the pandemic with him and Peter Avalon when they were a team together, yes. And then they broke up. And they both were winless, and they were terrible, and they couldn't. They had a series of matches where neither of them could actually get a victory.
Yes,
it was great. So the stooginess he can do. I like this. It's cool. It's a good refreshing.
Well, I loved it. I loved it too. It's like the reason they broke up is because Brandon wouldn't cheat, and now he cheats all the time. And they call that out on being the elite
on BTE like 2 months ago. Yeah. Right? Oh no, I cheat now. He's like, where was that? Where was that last year?
Yeah, it was great.
He goes, oh, no, you were right. Sorry, man.
Yeah, it was great. So after this, you know, Jungle Boy grabs the mic and he's like, it's a nice little warm up, to be honest. He's feeling pretty good. And then, you know, why doesn't one of the elite piece of shit come out right now and challenge him? Blah, blah, blah. And then out comes Adam Cole. Baby. And JB calls him an embarrassment, shows him blah, 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 you know, and then next thing you know, the Young Bucks come out, super kick, Jungle Boy from behind, and then they do the triple BTE trigger on him, and it looked amazing.
It was actually a BTE trigger followed by the boom.
Yes, yes, right into a boom.
You forget, yeah, Omega does the triple BTE with them, but it's the BTE followed by the boom with Cole.
Yes.
Slight distinction. Yes. Same correct thing.
It looks great, though. After this, we get an amazing Miro promo of why is this God forsaken?
Oh, you missed the best part about that whole thing, though.
What?
You forgot about this. So they did
shit,
that.
They threw him off
they jumped him in the ring.
It. Yep.
Yeah, and then they drug him up the ramp, and that's where they did, because that's where Cole was. And then they brought him to Cole. They did the BTE, they did the boom, and then
they threw him off the damn side of the...
threw him off the fucking stage.
Right into some tables. They're just conveniently placed there and covered with a tarp.
With a tarp with a little AEW spotlight on there. It's basically the same sort of fall that... Fuego did from Miro a few weeks back.
Yes,
looked great though.
It looked great. Sorry, I cannot believe I missed that part because it was amazing. Miro, the Miro God has forsaken me promos are getting better and better.
God's forsaken champion.
God's forsaken champion. The Redeemer. He needs to be redeemed.
He keeps
himself.
Shooting on God.
Yeah, he don't give a shit anymore, and I love it. I'm here for it.
It's great.
All right, main event time.
Which I know you were not excited about necessarily before.
Oh, no, not at all.
Not totally. Not at all. Okay, well, excuse me.
No, like, I was just like, Jesus, come on. So, Malakai Black versus, I'm not calling him Homelander today. No, I'm calling him Codelander. That's right. Codelander.
Okay. All right.
That's solid, right?
No, I'll give it to you. It's just like, of course you would. I mean, first of all, you subject me to dad jokes all day. Bad Halloween dad jokes all day at work. And then I come here, I just get more of it. Whatever.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It's my life.
I forgot. You're welcome. So, this match, holy shit. Like, match of the night. Not only because...
It went off.
Not only because Malakai Black was in it, but Cody showed out too. So Codelander did really, really good job tonight. And It had a lot of great spots all over it. You know, Codelander went for a figure four, but then Black gouged his eye out, which I thought was great. And he goes for his steel chair under the ring. Then here comes Brock Anderson. Brock Anderson! Wrong guy. And Lee Johnson. And we, you know, they come out during, yeah, they had a, during a break. Cody Rhodes, Black, or he did the crossroads, yeah, crossroads on Black, onto a table. So Cody did the crossroads onto Black through a table on ringside. And then at this point, Black's bloody. He's gushing a little bit on his face. Arn Anderson is in the ring, and Cody's bleeding too at this point, which I forgot where that happened.
Yeah, he bladed himself right after Black got cut open.
Yeah. So then Shivani was noting that, you know, that he got hit in the ring post. I don't remember seeing that, but whatever. Both men are at their feet, and then here comes Andrade El Idolo.
Pay off! I love this continuity. Fucking let's go.
Yeah, so Arn does a spine buster on Idolo's associate, which I love seeing an Arn Anderson spine buster.
That was good. That was so good.
Still one of the best in the business, and he's old.
But he's doing it on the little wimpy associate. No offense to Jose, but you know, it's okay. Yeah. It's good.
So right after that, Black does the Black Miss on Arn, and Andrade gets attacked by Pac at this point, and those two start fighting towards the back. Cody hits a crossroads again in the ring. 1-2. Oh, near fall. And then Black after that goes up to the top rope, does a coup de grace on him, the double foot stomp. And then he hits a massive massive German suplex for a 1-2, almost 3. He hits a Black Mass. Cody falls over into the ropes. And at this point, Jamie knew.
It was, yeah.
And
I mean, when you set up a finisher to be as unbeatable as the Black Mass is set up, this is how you, first of all, protect that move.
Yep.
But yes, you're not wrong. I knew at this point too. Like, oh, yeah.
So after that, Cody was able to get up. He hits a cutter on Malachi. Then he hits a crossroads, and he puts him in a Tiger Driver 98. Don't see those very often.
No.
So at first, I seriously thought Codelander was going to do a pedigree at that point. Just to be a dick.
That would have been amazeballs.
Because he hooked him and everything. And I'm like, oh my God, is he going to do a pedigree? It's like, that's the ultimate Codelander move. Like, let's go. Like, steal the move of your bane of your existence.
You're right.
No, he does not. He is a Tiger Driver 99. And your winner of Malachi Black Codelander 3 is none other than Codelander himself, Cody Rhodes.
But didn't do any. This is how you do that there. And the thing is, like, Cody was still getting heat in this match. Again, oh, Cody sucks. Chance. Yeah. But he did warm the crowd up more with his performance, which is good for him because he doesn't want to be heel because fuck who. I don't know. Whatever. Right. Yeah. This does nothing to harm Black at all. So I'm fine with this. This match, once again, both the Rhodes boys tonight, like you said, showed up hard.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully this is the birth of the Codelander, you know, like the real,
you know, I hope so, but
it'd be nice, man. It's what everybody wants to see. Like, the crowd has turned on him, so he needs to use that. You know, he is totally being a Vince McMahon guy right now by not listening to the crowd. And one of the things that he has always said, he's going to listen to the crowd. If the crowd hates me, then I'm going to make them hate me more. And that's what he needs to be doing right now. And he needs to become Codelander.
Okay. Here to play, not necessarily Fantasy Booking Island, but the adjacent, the forecasting fairy, if you would, that takes you to Fantasy Booking Island. I think this is all calculated for that turn. All his stuff he says online, all these things he's interviewed, all these things he's said about how he's not going to turn heel. He knows how to do this. He's been doing this forever, and people are going to come around, and he's going to keep doing what he's doing and hard work, and they're going to get behind me and whatever. It's like, I know, I believe. I think that's all seeds being planted for this Homelander-esque anti-faith. I do. Because it's so far out of his realm to be this deaf to the crowd, right? Yeah, there's things that he might not want to do, right? And he said, on Rose to the Top, you know, they kind of start diving into this because it basically, I watched all of it. It was not bad. It's fine. It ended around the time that he lost to Malachi, right? So, actually, and then they did a quick little snippet back of him, Malachi 2 in New York. So, they basically took it up to this point, and I don't know. I don't think he is that deaf. He's a lot smarter than that.
Yeah, he is.
And if it comes down to it, I mean, it takes a 5-minute conversation with Tony Khan to be like, you're fucking this up. You know this, right, Cody? Like, you have a golden opportunity. I don't want to be heel because that's what... You know. Who? This is wrestling. Get over yourself. Whatever. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
We shall see. But hey, on a good note though, about Cody or Codelander, and on AEW Dark coming up,
you saw this teaser.
Yes,
too.
So Too Fast, Too Fuego will be making its in-ring debut against Kansas City's own Dean Alexander and Kid Bandit.
But Dean Alexander, give him props to our buddy Dean, coming a staple on BTE, by the way.
Staple.
He may be a serial killer, but he's a staple on BTE.
Which is hilarious.
So good. The shirts, the little... Yeah, we love you, Dean. Yes. We do.
Yeah, so yes, he is on the Sammy vlog every week now as a murderer.
So did you see the, because you didn't watch Rose to the Top, like you said, but did you see the post-interview that they had during the first commercial?
Uh-uh, I did not.
So it was a backstage interview with the winners of the tournament matches for the night, the men's tournament matches. They're facing off against each other next week. So they had in the locker room, Bryan Danielson and Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston was slouching, sitting down in a chair, being lazy and shit, right? And definitely didn't want to be there. And their chemistry instantly got me excited for that match. Like, oh my God. Danielson starts shooting on Eddie. If he would just try, you know, basically the same rep that, you know, Eddie said on his emotional promo before he got hired at AEW, right? If you would just try, maybe you wouldn't have to spend 20 years not winning championships or something of that nature, you know, just digging into him. And then Eddie just dug right back. And it's well worth a Google. Look it up on Twitter.
All right. I shall Google this.
All right. So any final thoughts on Dynamite?
It was pretty damn good, actually. I was pleasantly surprised. Again, it was way better than I was expecting, for sure.
Well, it's back on Wednesday starting this week, so yay! So Thursday we'll be back with our regular Dynamite show. Before we get to that, though, we have some unfinished business we need to attend. Mm-hmm. So, this past weekend was, and immediately after Dynamite, as a matter of fact, that's a 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, was Bound for Glory, one of Impact Wrestling's two signature pay-per-views, the two biggies that they have every year, and then a bunch of medium and few little guys, right? So Bound for Glory happened in Las Vegas, and as we do for all of the big pay-per-views, we gotta do our pay-per-view pick. So Megan is unfortunately the current champion in Impact, and we're going to try and wrestle it away from her. I have the picks in front of me. There's a tiebreaker we did. I'll get to that in a second. And we're just going to dive right into it. So overall, Bound for Glory, I thought was very good. Okay. I think it could have been, I don't think it was as good as Slammiversary this past year.
That's fair.
I think it was overall it was pretty good. They were trying to get some other people. So I'm going to give some spoiler alert for you right now on it, because they apparently they had Jonah Rock, who is
Bronson Reed.
Bronson Reed, thank you. You said Bronson. So many Bronze. Apparently, they had Jonah Rock, Bronson Reed, had him booked to be on the show. Then he got unbooked, whatever that means. They wanted to potentially, you know, get Bray Wyatt, but he's still under his 90-day no-compete, and apparently hasn't been much communication between the two of them. Mm. For that reason, and maybe others. Who knows, right? And there has been talks with Impact Wrestling executive Scott D'Amore and Braun Strowman or Adam Scheer. Mm-hmm. He was in Vegas. A lot of people speculated he would be there. Spoiler alert, he didn't show up. Okay. So I think that may be one of the things why. Like, the big surprises didn't happen. There were still surprises, though. And overall, the show, I thought that it was very good. It could have been a little bit better, in my opinion. Fair. But let's get to the picks. So, myself, Jamie, Megan, you see our pay-per-view record up top there, as it's been hanging out for a hot second. So, we're going to go ahead and start this off on the pre-show. They had the inaugural digital media title match. The six-person match, intergender, mind you. And the winner becomes the first digital media champion. Do they need to have this title? No, but whatever. I think it's kind of cool if they keep it as an intergender thing. Impact's really the only one who is even dipping their toe in the intergender pool, you know?
Very true. There aren't many right now.
All right, and they've been doing it for a while. Good, bad, indifferent. I don't mind it.
I don't either.
You know, but... yeah, you guys let us know. If you like it, you don't like it. Give us a comment. Give us a tweet. So, yeah, John Skyler, Crazy Steve, Fala Ba, Jordan Grace, Chelsea Green, and then Madison Rain, who took Tennille Dashwood's place because she couldn't be there for some reason.
Yeah.
All three of us picked Chelsea Green, and all three of us were wrong.
Like, dead wrong.
So wrong. And... very deservedly so. Your inaugural digital media champion is Jordan Grace. Thick Mama Pump coming through.
Thick Mama Pump.
Good for her, which means she's a Triple Crown winner now. Or she's in that Triple Crown. Yeah, she's a Triple Crown winner now in Impact. Mm-hmm. She's won the Impact title, the tag Impact, not or the Knockouts Championship, Knockouts tag title, and the digital media title. So good for her. So we're not starting off hot. And then the actual show starts. And it starts with the Inspiration. And they have the full big entrance thing coming in. So they have the girl who did the sometime last week, they released their music video with the person who sings their entrance song. And it's all sultry and the whole lot, right? Well, that person was actually there to sing them their entrance song as they came in on your opening matchup, a knockout tag championship match of the Inspiration versus your champions, Decay. And Jamie changed his pick on this, I saw. Because initially you said Decay. I didn't even catch this when we filled out the sheet. Mm-hmm. But we all three said the Inspiration was going to win. When did you change your pick, Jamie?
As I was putting it in.
Okay, gotcha, which is perfectly fine. Like I said, we didn't do any crazy business going late, changing picks, adjusting our literally time or just sandbagging. Done. I just totally forgot about that. Like, oh no, you did. You originally did pick when we talked about mm-hmm. it, but we all picked the Inspiration, and this, I can't believe how much I have missed Cassidy and Jesse McKay in the ring. They've got a more comedic shtick side to them that plays very well for what their characters are. Mm-hmm. So this was a fun match to watch, and the Inspiration ended up getting the victory at the end. They isolated Havoc, got her, you know, on the outside of the ring and beat her up and ran through a pole a couple times, and then they were able to focus on Rosemary, did their finisher, and 1, 2, 3, the Inspiration are your new Knockouts tag team champion.
Did they do the iconic pose?
Yes, because before Decay came out, they did said a little thing something like this, and they go, "We're here to be your Inspiration," or how they did Inspiration and did the pose. So they're still doing the pose. Instead of after saying iconic, it's after Inspiration, and then they pose.
Perfect.
I didn't get "You gotta be joking me" though. I plan on getting that very soon, Jesse. If I don't get that, I'm gonna be mad. So as you see, we're on the board now. Everybody got a point. Good to go. Mm-hmm. Next match was the X Division title match, and myself and Megan both chose Steve Maclin. Jamie chose Trey Miguel, and nobody picked the third participant, El Fantasmo. I felt like this match was handmade for Trey Miguel, which is why I didn't pick it. And I'm ashamed that I didn't follow through with my gut, because Trey Miguel got the victory, and they did it in a way to protect Steve Maclin, because he's still technically undefeated in one-to-one battle.
And single, if you singles competition. Go that way.
Yep, so they isolated him outside the ring, this and that, and it came down to a Phantasmo. A Phantasmo looked fantastic, as he always does, right? Looked so good. But came down to Phantasmo and Trey Miguel, and Trey Miguel got the victory. Very emotional. So there's your second new champion, even though this one was a vacated title. Second new champion of the night. That puts Jamie ahead 2-1 right now. Mm-hmm. Then we had Keith and maybe Rhino, or a partner of his choosing, versus Violent by Design. We all chose Heath and Rhino, or Heath and whoever.
But originally you chose Violent by Design.
Originally, I had Violent by Design, and then I got, and just like Jamie rethought his tag team match, I rethought this one before he entered up in, and I went with Heath and question mark. I thought it was going to be because there would be a Braun Strowman, or, you know, a Bronson Reed, you know, Jonah, you know, that we'd see one of them step up in place of Rhino. Well, I was wrong. There was not. Rhino didn't show up at the beginning of the match. And he just proceeded to give his best, but get the shit beat out of him till about halfway through. And Rhino comes out, stops at the ring for a hot minute, then jumps on the apron, reaches out to Heath, and yells out, "Tag me in," right? You know, he does, comes in, they clean house, gore, 1, 2, 3. Heath and Rhino get the victory. We all get the point. So that puts Jamie, so far, Jamie's doing great on the actual show. You know, he's at 3, both Megan and myself. Spoiler alert, Megan and me, the exact same card. As soon as I saw her do that, Jamie can confirm this. I started yelling and screaming across our shared internet connection that we had. Because I was like, it's going to come down to me and her on the tiebreaker, won't it? You know, so just drive again. Me and Megan, exact same card. But Jamie's leading us right now. 3-2, Jamie on top. Next was the 20-man Call Your Shot gauntlet match. I was a little bit off on explaining this match. I'm not going to lie. I didn't quite fully know what it was ahead of time. I think gauntlet match, you know. It's basically the Royal Rumble with 20 people, and the last two that remain go into an actual match, pinfall or submission. So starts with two, and then every couple minutes somebody else comes out, elimination over the top rope, last two remaining go into a wrestling. I was off on that. Now, we had a bunch of people we could choose from here. Chris Sabin was confirmed to be entrant number 1. W. Morrissey was confirmed to be entrant number 20. Jamie chose Moose for the... which are, these are all very good picks. Chose Moose for that. Megan and myself chose W. Morrissey, entrant 20. This is kind of like the Trey Miguel thing. This seemed like it was too perfect to be true, mm-hmm. right? Well, Trey Miguel ended up getting the victory. What happened here? This was a fun little thing to see. You did have a couple mild surprises in this. So the first two were Chris Sabin, who's got new music. I don't know if I like that. I miss. He was doing the Motor City Machine Gun music, and now he's got different music. I don't know if I like that. And Rocky Romero was entrant number two.
Oh.
From New Japan. Yeah. So, and he's going to be on Impact this coming week, I think. He was at the tapings over the weekend. So, you also had appearances by Melaina from NWA. Laredo Kid was there. Laredo Kid's been appearing on Impact. Mm-hmm. And a very obscure flashback. It felt a lot to me, very much like we couldn't get Adam Shearer, we couldn't get Jonah Hex. So here's the Demon. The Demon was a Gene Simmons Kiss-themed wrestler.
The Kiss Demon.
From WCW. Yeah. From WCW back in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm. I remember him.
I'm like, really? The Demon? Mm-hmm. Okay, sure, whatever. But anyway, that's what it was. Came down towards the end there. You've got, what is it? You've got Moose, Matt Cardona, W. Morrissey, and I want to say it was Chris Sabin. I don't remember who the fourth person was. But basically, you had it there, and Morrissey had taken that other person out onto the apron, and him and Moose have had this tenuous kind of thing, right? You know, they're not alliance, but they're kind of aligned, and, you know, whateverness, and they are working together during the whole match. So, of course, Moose's classic thing where he comes over, tips over W. Morrissey, knocks both him and the other guy out to the outside, eliminates W. Morrissey, eliminates Megan and myself from winning this match. So we both don't get a point. But it's Matt Cardona, who I didn't even consider before. And that's a great pick, especially considering Chelsea Green didn't win. Mm-hmm. And Moose as your final two. Ooh, here we go. Well, ends up being Moose getting the victory. So not going to drag it along. Jamie gets the point. And, you know, it's one of those things like Trey Miguel. I think that I looked at both of these and I thought they're both very spot on. One of them can't be right.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went the wrong way with it. You went the right way. You chose Trey. You chose not W. Morrissey. I went with W and not Trey. I paid the price. I paid the price the hardest because it's at this point here. Like I said, Megan and I have the exact same card. And Jamie right now has four. We have two. Jamie also has the same card for us for two of the final three matches. So at worst, he could only be off by one. So ladies and gentlemen, your winner and new Impact Pay-Per-View Total Spot Fest champion, Jamie Faulkner.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you. But just want to make sure everybody understands, though, when you're part of the Faulkner World Order, we work under Freebird rules. So if one of us is a champion, then both of us are champions.
But you're actually champion. So congratulations, Jake.
So the chance for a grand slam is still intact. Because my faction...
You're modifying some shit there.
My faction.
You are modifying some things there. We can make that argument if we need to. Survivor Series is coming up. As is Full Gear. Full Gear's next.
I'll finger poke of Doom.
How? Okay, I want to know how you would do the finger poke of Doom in the scenario that we do for exchanging these belts.
Easy, I just give it to her and it's done.
I have the belt and I'm not Impact Champion. You have to win in a championship match, and you can throw that championship match, but how do we determine these championships? on a big pay-per-view when all three of us participate. So how you finger poke a Doom giving her of the belt?
That's why we run on Freebird rules. It makes the most sense.
Possession is not 9/10 of the law here. You are officially the champion. I don't care if you give her this belt, she runs away with it.
Well, hey, my
Brody Lee was
my faction's got 3 out of the 4 belts. It's fine.
That we can argue about later on. You're wrong on that too, but we can argue about that later on. According to what the bet was, and we'll revisit that later. But regardless, you see, Jamie's got the title belt under his name now, just like I have a title belt under my name. Megan's only got 2. let's talk about the rest of the matches. So you had 3 other matches tonight. You had Good Brothers versus the Bullet Club versus Finn Juice, triple threat for the tag titles. It is the triple threat where it's 2 people at a time instead of 1 member of each team. It's not my favorite. You know, I'd rather they do a member of each of the 3 teams, but I digress. Mm. Good Brothers end up getting the victory on that. So Meg and I did pick up a point there. Jamie chose the Bullet Club. Doesn't matter though. Math is what it is. But the Good Brothers continuing their unprecedented reign.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's unprecedented, but they're protesting it. Next, you had Deonna Purrazzo defending her Knockouts title against Mickie James. Good old hardcore country coming back at you. We all chose Deonna Purrazzo because why wouldn't we? Well, we wouldn't because she didn't win. Mickie James is your new Knockouts champion.
That's crazy.
This match was fantastic, by the way. This was fan-fucking-tastic. Mickie still got it. I just can't believe that she won, that they actually put the belt on her. And it's like, excuse me?
Yeah, that just doesn't feel right.
It doesn't, and everybody's assuming that, like, all right, they're going to drop the belt for right away, right? They've got to. They're going to give it back to Deonna right away. Well, from what I've heard, Deonna's not next in line to go up against her, so we'll see. It's interesting, but Mickie James, another new champion. Which means that so far tonight, we have had 3 new champions crowned. One of them was four, actually. Excuse me. Because the digital media title, the Knockouts tag champion changed hands. Ek Division was vacated, so we had to give that to somebody. And the Knockouts championship was changed hands. 4 out of the 5 titles that were fought for thus far were exchanged hands. And that means you had Josh Alexander versus Christian Cage for the Impact World title. We all picked Josh Alexander to be the new champion. Would they really change 5 titles? Well, this match was great. This match was very good. Side note, we did our times for this match for our tiebreaker. And we did them in a way where none of us could cherry pick each other. Although I ended up doing it to Jamie accidentally. I don't know how we did
it. It was
that.
Hilarious, yeah.
Megan, we all wrote them down. And we like, you know, zoomed each other, and then we like 1, 2, 3 showed our times. Right, did that. Megan had 16 minutes 57 seconds. Jamie had 17 minutes 37 seconds, and I had 17 minutes 38 seconds. Who knew?
Mm-hmm.
So long match. JJ wins. Right. Well, it ended up being an 18-minute and 53-second match. So had we gone to a tiebreaker, I would have had that belt. But I digress. At the end of the day, Josh Alexander got the victory, got it by submission. Well-deserved. It was very well done. Gets a hug from Christian Cage afterwards, and his wife and his older son, his younger son, excuse me, his youngest son wasn't there. Excuse me there. Wow. They come out. They come into the ring to celebrate with him and give him a hug and give his son's kiss, and, you know, gives a belt into his son, and they're hugging and doing all this stuff. And so I made mention of the Call Your Shot gauntlet. And just to reiterate what that was, that's like Money in the Bank, mm-hmm. right? So you get a trophy, and you can cash in that trophy at any time within the next year for any title shot you want, anywhere. I didn't expect Moose to come running out from the crowd at this very instance, but he sure as shit did. Jumped into the ring, handed the trophy to the referee, and Josh Alexander was lucky enough just to shoo his wife and son out of the ring before getting a big spear, big slam, big 1-2-3, and Moose stole the title from him. Alexander finally had ascended, and his reign lasted 5 minutes. And it was very well done. And Moose accomplished his prophecy. So Moose is your new Impact champion. Jamie is our new Impact pay-per-view champion.
That's right.
So when I meet you on Friday for Freaks Come Out Night, I will bring a gift for you, knowing that it will not go to Megan, but to you. Does soothe my heart. And yes, I know you're part of the same faction, but there's a principle involved here. So,
hey, you know, I mean, when you're part of the Faulkner World Order, man, you're it's for life.
If only you guys had a logo or something you could put on a t-shirt, that'd be great, right? Well, you know. That's what we got. Any final thoughts here?
No, like, that was a kill. Honestly, from the highlights and everything I saw, because I didn't get to watch it live, but it was a pretty killer freaking pay-per-view.
It really was. Now, here's my complaint with it. I feel like we were building it up to be more than it was. I was expecting to have the big thing because, you know, you talk about it, I'm sure you talk about, you know, Bronson Reed and all this. But, you know, for what it was actually very good. The Deonna Purrazzo Mickie James match was excellent. The main event title was very good. The triple threat match was excellent, you know. Was it worth $40? I would have rather paid less for it. I don't feel like it was their best pay-per-view this year, but I thought it was very good second place, honest to God. So. That being what it is, that was Impact Wrestling. And I think more people need to give Impact a chance. I think that, because the thing is this, too. The crowd was sold out. The crowd was great the whole time. And I saw pictures of, like, the pan back, because it's laid out in an odd way. But there was actually a good-sized crowd there. So, Impact needs more eyes. They need a better TV deal because their product is pretty good. It really is.
I agree with that.
And if you don't agree with that, give me a comment. Let me know why. Well, we'll be back on Thursday, back to our regularly scheduled programming. So, I don't know if we're going to get Walter or DJ. They got a lot going on with their big announcement, everything happening for Freaks Come Out at Night. If we can get them to hop on for a hot minute, maybe we'll do an interview. We'll tweet it out. We'll let you guys know if we are going to be able to do that. But expect us to be back to our regularly scheduled programming. So, we'll talk about Dynamite from this week and, you know, a little bit of what's going on. And then next Monday, we'll get back into wrap up from Freaks Come Out at Night, talk about Rampage, do a little wrestling roundabout, and back into a regular rhythm of things. So join us for that. Join us to Freaks Come Out at Night if you're not doing anything on Friday. Tickets, like I said, few tickets still available, georgiaprokc.com, and come join us. It's going to be a great time.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So that, yeah. And once again, if you come, you see Jamie and I's costume, you think you know what it is, yell it at us as loud as possible.
Yes, please.
That's what Jamie wants.
That's all I want. All I want.
All right. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you for listening. Jamie, take us home.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not down Total Spot Fest, I got two words for you. For life.
That actually kind of almost lined up there. All right. See you next time, guys. Peace.